Mark Cuban.
How you do anything is how you do everything. If you're not, if you don't pay attention to detail on the little things, you're not going to be in the habit of paying attention to detail for the big things.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Hey, he wears his hat backwards. Well, I wear my hat backwards because my dad had a fro and I wanted to wear his hat. And if I put his hat on at age six and, you know, he's got a 8.5 and I got like a little 5, it's not going to really stay on my head.
Jeannie Buss.
Thank you for having me. What a nice turnout. It's good to see everybody.
John Smoltz.
Is if you don't have the imagination and the willingness to fail or not being afraid to fail, I don't think you can be truly great.
Candace Parker.
I have so much hope for this generation coming up that have grown up with women in sports, in leadership roles, on television, speaking about sports, speaking knowledgeably about sports.
Pau Gasol.
To me, all the work that I've done, all the humanitarian work that I've done, has always given me great perspective, has allowed me to keep my feet on the ground, and has really put and reminded me what's truly important.
Damian Lillard.
That was for Seattle.
Just to name a few. Welcome to Sports Business Radio. Now, here's Brian Berger.
Well, thanks for joining us on this edition of Sports Business Radio. A great guest lined up for you this week. Someone I've been targeting for a long time. Carly Lloyd, 2-time FIFA World Player of the Year, 2-time World Cup champion, 2-time Olympic gold medalist. She's been a soccer legend with the U.S. Women's National Team. She's the minority owner of Gotham FC of the NWSL. She's an ambassador for Techball. We'll get into that. I've never heard of Techball, but she's going to explain it to us. It's very quickly growing around the world. And she's the author of the book, When Nobody Was Watching, My Hard-Fought Journey to the Top of the Soccer World. She's going to join us for a wide-ranging conversation. She's really incredibly bright and personable, one of the most accomplished athletes on the planet over the last 20 years. She retired from playing competitive soccer in October of 2021. But as you'll hear, she's got a lot going on post-career. I love Carly's grit and grind and the drive she has to succeed in whatever she does on or off the soccer pitch. Promise you're going to enjoy this conversation with Carly. Note that I recorded this conversation with Carly before the Yates investigation report about NWSL abuse in the league with a few of the teams, and the Orlando Pride report came out. So we did not cover that because this conversation took place before those reports came out. You can listen to this conversation on Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts. You can watch this conversation on the Sports Business Radio YouTube channel at sportsbusinessradio.com. By the way, if you're not subscribing to our award-winning podcast, please do so today. Past guests have included Mark Cuban, Jeannie Buss, Damian Lillard, Danica Patrick, Andre Iguodala, Ken Griffey Jr., Sue Bird, and Jack Nicklaus. We're in year 18 of our podcast. We have a terrific library of podcast conversations with the biggest names in sports and business. And I want to remind you that this week's edition of Sports Business Radio is presented by Inside Tracker. Founded in 2009 by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometric data from MIT, Tufts, and Harvard, Inside Tracker's mission is to improve the health span of people everywhere so they can enjoy longer, healthier lives. For a limited time, you can get 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Just go to insidetracker.com/SBR and save 20% today. I'm joined by Brian Griggs, our executive producer. Griggs, how are you?
I'm doing good, and I was super excited when you said you were having Carly on because you mentioned all the stuff that she's doing, but she's just an OG on the soccer pitch, obviously, but just a great person. Like, I love her interaction. You see her at the games with kids and with families and with just such a likable person. And we've talked about how these athletes grow their business and their brand outside of their, you know, their sport. And she's one that is just killing it after soccer. So fun interview, lots to talk about, and you'll learn some new stuff for sure.
Yeah, and World Cup is coming up. We're going to see her doing some broadcasting. I love the fact that she built relationships during her soccer career that are now benefiting her post-career. So again, everyone's going to enjoy this conversation with Carly Lloyd today. All right, let's get to some headlines of the week. The Giants and the Packers went to London, and Griggs, this is what Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, said. I think there's no question that London could support not just one franchise. I think two franchises. I really believe that. That's what Roger Goodell told reporters in London. Might we see one or two NFL franchises in London? They've talked about a whole division over there with some teams in Germany. I don't know. It sounds like we're getting closer to that.
You know, I think it's a fun idea. I mean, again, obviously England and Europe and London loves football, American football. The crowds are packed. It's a good crowd. They've had two awesome games this season, close games down the wire, some big name players. So I think, I mean, you've got the support, you've got great stadiums over there. You've got, you know, towns and cities supporting it. So I think it could work. It'd be kind of fun to have a European division. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, that Tottenham Stadium is pretty cool, how they can have either the soccer pitch down or they can like automate it and it brings the NFL field in. It just kind of rolls it in. Yeah. And that's pretty slick. It sounds like Google is interested in the naming rights for Tottenham Stadium. And again, if that becomes home to not just Tottenham, but also an NFL team, now that stadium and the naming rights are worth even more money. All right, our next headline. Staying in the NFL, Matt Rhule is out as head coach of the Carolina Panthers. In 2020, the team signed him to a 7-year, $62 million deal. He's in year three of his deal. Griggs, the team still owes him $40 million. That's a big mistake by the Panthers. I guess if another team hires Rhule, then the $40 million could be offset. But a big error when you give a coach 7 years and you're basically having to back out after three.
Tell you, you know, you and I lose our job. We don't get any money at all, but these guys lose their job and get $40 million. Not bad. But yeah, the Panthers are, they're struggling. I mean, and now Baker's out with a couple weeks with an ankle sprain, and it's just like, they feel like they're kind of just a whirlwind of what are we doing? So it'll be interesting to see how they move forward, but I will be interested to see if he gets hired and how that money plays out, because that's a big chunk of cash.
Yeah, $40 million remaining. And you're right. Yeah, where do we sign up to be a head coach? I mean, you know, whether it's a college coach or an NFL coach or an NBA coach or whatever, you know, they all have guaranteed contracts. So if you're going to move on from them, you're still paying them. So you have to weigh that into the equation. So the Panthers must really have wanted to move on from Matt Rhule if they're basically paying him $40 million not to coach. All right, Major League Baseball playoffs. Griggs, I don't think Major League Baseball has done a very good job of explaining the new playoff format. You know, there wasn't that play-in game this year. I don't know why. So like the Padres and Mets, all three games were in New York. Like, when were they going to move to San Diego? Was there ever a scenario where they were going to move to San Diego for that series? Was it just all going to be in New York? I don't understand, but we got through round one. Now we're on to the next round. And here are the matchups. You've got the Yankees versus the Guardians, the Astros versus the Mariners. And then you've got the Dodgers versus the Padres and the Braves versus the Phillies. Let's start with Yankees, Guardians. Guardians have played great this year, but I've got to go with the Yankees. I just think Garrett Cole and Aaron Judge, they're going to be too much for the Guardians. What do you think?
I agree. I think Judge is just playing too good, and they are clicking. The crowd support, obviously, the Yankee fan base is huge. So they got the home field advantage. I think Yankees win that one fairly easily.
All right. Astros, Mariners. I know we're close to the Pacific Northwest. The Mariners are in the playoffs for the first time since 2001. People in Seattle are very excited, but boy, the Astros had a great regular season. Justin Verlander is one of the best pitchers in baseball. It's hard to pick against the Astros.
It is, but 21 years, my Mariners, I've got to pick them, even though it's going to be a tough series. They have been riding high on the, you know, some of these last couple of games to get them where they are have been insane. So I'm hoping that keeps going. I'm picking the M's in this one.
Yeah, they were down 8-1 in that elimination game and came back and won. And they're playing with house money. No one expects them to beat the Astros. So sometimes when you're playing with house money and you're just playing loose, you never know what could happen. All right, Dodgers-Padres, that's going to be a good matchup. Yeah, look at what the Padres are doing without Fernando Tatis, one of their best players. It kind of reminds me of what the New Orleans Pelicans did in the NBA without Zion. You know, they went and got CJ McCollum, much like the Padres went and got Juan Soto. You know, you've got Manny Machado there. Their pitching is doing really well. Again, they're kind of playing with house money too. No one expects them to beat the Dodgers, who led the NL in wins. I'm going to still go Dodgers, but I think that's going to be a classic series. And then Braves, Phillies, I don't know if there's anyone in baseball playing better than the Braves. And you know, Griggs, when you get that championship under your belt like they did last year, you just know how to grind these series out. You know how to win. And the difference is they've got Ronald Acuña Jr. back this year. They didn't have him in the playoffs last year. He's one of their best players. So I got to go Braves over the Phillies, but I was happy to see the Phillies extend their manager. He's done a great job. And, you know, no one thought the Phillies were going to beat the Cardinals. So, you know, they're probably just happy to be here.
Yeah, I think that's kind of fun because I agree with you. The Phillies were kind of, I don't think they were marked down as many people's favorites to get this far in. So I think that'll be a fun series. I'm really looking forward to the Dodgers-Padres, though. I think that's going to be really compelling and probably going to go hopefully seven games because I think that's a good matchup. You also got two teams that don't have to travel much. I think that helps with the games too. You're literally, you know, just down the coast a little bit. So that could help too.
Yeah. No, I think that's going to be the best matchup of this next round. And yeah, it's interesting. They've almost built their rosters, especially the Padres, to compete with each other. So they kind of had this matchup in mind as they built their roster. So we'll see what happens. All right. Before we get to Carly Lloyd, I've got to brag for a minute. I'm crushing Griggs in the underdog fantasy best ball mania 3 challenge.
It's true.
After the most recent weekend of NFL games, I'm in second place with 641 points, led by Josh Allen, Travis Kelce, and Josh Jacobs on my team. Dude, you're in ninth place with 552 points. I'm almost lapping you 100 points. You got to get it going. I mean, this is what happens. We talked about this during the draft. When you take DK Metcalf with your first pick, there was a lot of concern by football fans going, what, like, his Griggs
the season's
lost
young.
His mind? Like, what is he doing here taking DK Matt? Does he realize that Geno Smith, who's done a pretty good job, is the quarterback?
I
but yeah, you're in ninth place. I'm in second. You got a long look up at me in the standings.
Yeah, it's not looking good. I mean, you obviously had a massive game with Kelce on Monday Night Football. That helped. I do have Patrick. He threw four to Kelce, so that helped me a little bit. But yeah, you might have made some better picks on the front side of the, you know, first half of the NFL season here, but we'll see. DK could blow out with a couple 200-yard games, four touchdowns. We'll go with that.
I mean, I'm still looking for that, you know, multi-million dollar first prize here.
Yeah.
I mean, you just, you know, take SBR on the road and go to exotic places and set up a studio in Maui, maybe go to Greece. So, by the way, if you want to play Best Ball Mania or any of Underdog Fantasy's great games, go to underdogfantasy.com, download the app, and enter SBR as the promo code and you'll get a discount. So play against us in Underdog Fantasy. We're having fun. And anytime I can go head to head with Griggs on anything,
it's good.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, soccer legend Carly Lloyd. You are going to thoroughly enjoy this interview. Just a really bright person. I love how she's grinded during her career and what she's doing post-career. You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back. When it comes to your health and longevity, you hold nothing back. You understand what it means to push harder, reach farther, and go the extra mile. This relentless drive runs in your blood. That's why Inside Tracker provides you with a personalized plan to build strength, speed recovery, and optimize your health for the long haul. Created by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometrics, Inside Tracker analyzes your blood, DNA, and fitness tracking data to identify where you're optimized and where you're not. You'll get a daily action plan with personalized guidance on the right exercise, nutrition, and supplementation for your body. And when you connect Inside Tracker with your Fitbit or Garmin, you'll also unlock real-time recovery pro tips after you complete your workout. It's like having your own personal trainer and nutritionist in your pocket. For a limited time, you can get 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Just go to insidetracker.com/SBR. That's insidetracker.com/SBR. My guest is Carly Lloyd, two-time FIFA World Player of the Year, two-time World Cup champion. Her hat trick of the 2015 World Cup final was one of the most clutch championship performances ever. Two-time Olympic gold medalist, U.S. women's national team soccer legend. She's a minority owner with Gotham FC of the NWSL. Tech Ball Ambassador, and she is the author of the book When Nobody Was Watching. Carly Lloyd, welcome to Sports Business Radio. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So you retired about a year ago at this time. On a scale of 1 to 10, how's retirement going so far?
Oh, it's like an 11. It's really amazing. Yeah. I'm not just saying this. I've told numerous people, like, I really don't miss playing, which I think is a good thing because I gave it all I had for those 17 professional years and accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. And now I'm just having the luxury of being able to just live life and just enjoy everything, which sounds pretty crazy.
I mean, that's great when you can walk away and not look back and have any regrets, and you know that you did all that you could do. I've been following you on Instagram. I'm actually recording this from the mountains in Arizona right now. Our family has a mountain house in Arizona. And I see that you were pretty close to here recently. A couple of weeks ago, you hiked the Grand Canyon. What was that like?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. My husband and I were just out there. I had my last clinic of the year there. So that was great. Got a little golf in, got a nice little hike in. The hike was probably one of the hardest hikes I've done. We did Bright Angel Trail, but we just did the 9 mile one where it was hike down 4.5, hike back up 4.5, which I think I like it the opposite way. I think I like to hike up first and then go down.
Yeah. And golf, I mean, it looks like you're really spending some time working on your game and playing golf. Is that going well for you?
It is. It's really hard. It's probably one of the most challenging sports I've ever attempted to do. And I'm really just trying to kind of learn the right way. Obviously, my husband has been a golfer for quite some time, has been in the business. So for me, it's just actually breaking it all down and learning the right way. So it's a work in progress. It's going to take a lot of time, but he's a good teacher. I'm a good student. So it's been working out well. But I'm ready for that kind of aha moment where my swing is like on plane and I'm doing it consistently and feeling pretty good. So I'm, you know, just enjoying it while I can.
That's great. All right. I want to talk about some of your business partnerships. As I mentioned, you're a minority owner with Gotham FC. You're an ambassador for Tech Ball. Let's start with when someone comes to you and they want to work with you, what are the elements that you look for in a partnership?
For me, it's got to, you know, it has to align with what I'm about as a person, you know, how I was as a player. You know, I'm very authentic in kind of partnering with other companies, organizations that just speak volumes to who I am. And that's what's been great is that, you know, I've attracted all of these amazing partnerships and sponsorships from just being the best version of myself and being as authentic as I can. So that for starters, obviously I have to, you know, either enjoy the product or what I'm working with, you know, and Tech Ball was something that kind of came out of nowhere for me just during the pandemic. So yeah, it's been great. I've had a lot of great partnerships over the year and, definitely a huge honor to be the first female Tech Ball in USA.
I have watched Tech Ball online and on TV and it's crazy. I mean, I think you have to be uber athletic. It's kind of a combination of soccer, ping pong, tennis, pickleball. There's a lot of things going on, but how would you best describe Tech Ball to our audience?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely a crossover into like ping pong, tennis. It's a lot of fun, you know, especially because the table is curved.
Right.
So, you know, the timing of the, and the placement of where the ball needs to hit, you know, on the table, you know, is definitely something that is needed when you're playing it. So I think that probably takes some getting used to with people who have maybe just played ping pong and it's obviously a flat surface. So yeah, it has kind of a mixture of everything. But you know, for me, you know, growing up playing soccer, I played a lot of soccer tennis just with my feet. And it really helped my touch, my control, my awareness, everything. And I would spend, you know, multiple times doing that, even all the way up until the end of my career. So the tech ball table is actually great for aspiring soccer players as well, just to get better touches on the ball and have some fun, you know, play a little 2-on-2 and have it get competitive.
So my stats show me there's 4,000 active tech ball players globally in 114 countries. We see sports like pickleball picking up popularity. I mean, do you think this is where tech ball can get to?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that it's probably, you know, I think it's like one of the fastest emerging sports, and obviously been on the rise, especially getting a broadcasting deal with ESPN. I think when people see it, it's very intriguing and it's very addicting to be able to watch. And, you know, the games don't last a really long time. So, you know, if you've got some people whose attention spans are, you know, not really invested in just sitting down and watching, the games go pretty quickly, you know, and it's just fun and it's nonstop, aside from kind of the breaks in between each games. But yeah, I do see that, you know, it's going to be one of these sports that just continues to rise. What I love is there's tables, you know, kind of sporadically throughout the country and West Coast, East Coast, where you can just go into the park and play. We need to bring more people and young kids into the parks to play, because I feel like we've kind of gone through this stage where not a lot of kids are as active as they have been. So right. I love that bit about it.
So I see that Justin Bieber and Adam Levine are tech ball players. Have you matched up with either of them yet?
I have not. No, that would be a fun, I could grab a partner and it'd be a fun 2v2. I think I'd get my competitive juices flowing with that one.
I think you would too. All right, let's talk about the NWSL and your minority investment in Gotham FC. The NWSL is growing. I've had people from Angel City FC on this show, including Abby Wambach. San Diego added a new team. They had 32,000 fans at a game this year. What do you see the growth potential of the NWSL being?
I think it's great. You know, when we've had other expansion teams kind of come in throughout the last decade of the NWSL, it was difficult. You know, it was difficult for them to kind of get the caliber of players that they needed. And San Diego and LA, Angel City have come in and, you know, they're rocking. They're packing stadiums. They're doing well. Obviously San Diego is doing really well. So I think we're now seeing a flip of a switch and the trend is heading in the right direction. I think the important thing is, you know, just kind of have to continue to do the things that are necessary the right way. And that's the most important thing. And obviously there's been a lot of things that have happened over the last several years. Not great press, but I think that this was a good reset of the league to continue to trend in the right direction.
Do you feel like the investment in women's sport is starting to head in the direction it needs to head in? I know it's still a very small number. It's under 5% of all corporate dollars are invested in women's sports, but do you feel like, you know, things are starting to head in the right direction?
I do. I think you're definitely seeing it kind of overseas in Europe and England, you know, Spain as well. So it's getting there. I think there's, you know, there's differences in investment in the NWSL with certain teams. Obviously the caliber of some of the teams' investment is a larger pool of money than other teams. So I do still think there's a long way to go on that end. But hopefully, you know, people continue to invest because the product is out there and it's showing, and we just need more people to put their money behind it to be able to continue to help the players and help the league.
You were part of the battle for a long time with the U.S. Women's National Team for equal pay. And that has finally happened. What was it like? I'm sure it was emotionally draining. Anytime you're fighting for something groundbreaking like that, it goes beyond the soccer pitch. There's so much more going on. What was that like?
It was challenging. I mean, no one wants to be fighting with their employer and filing a lawsuit and then the next day going out and playing a game. I mean, it was very awkward for those 6 years and it was challenging. Myself, along with, you know, Becky, Alex, Megan, Hope at the time, and Kristen Press and Tobin then came on board. There was a lot of phone calls. There was a lot of meetings. There was a lot of emails of having to read documents, calls with attorneys. So we kind of all took the bit of the brunt of it. Whereas the other players, we just kind of relayed that information to them. So it was a lot. It was a lot to take that on. But we knew the long-term effects of it and we knew the importance of it. Although I would say that we did win the equal pay fight, I don't think that we necessarily still won, because here I am, I sit as a retired soccer player who basically gave 2 decades of my life, put my body on the line for 2 decades. I retire almost a year ago and thank you. See you later. No pension, no health benefits or stipend to pay for health insurance. Nothing that gives you the security to enter into this next phase of life. I can't sit at home and do nothing. You know, I have to work. I have to stay active. So I don't think that we have won on that front. I know NFL, NBA, all, you know, Major League Baseball, you know, when you play a certain amount of years and you give your body and your life to that sport, you get a pension for life. You know, that would be nice. I could kick back. I could enjoy life a little bit more. So I don't think that we've necessarily won transitioning into the phase after soccer. So that is kind of the next bit. While we have to continue to push for players to get paid while they're playing, what happens to the players when they're done playing? That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I absolutely 100% agree with you. Is there anything you can do from where you sit now, or is it up to the active players to fight that battle?
Yeah, I have voiced my concerns to our Players Association rep and players and have talked about it. You know, I know in speaking with Hope Solo, her husband, Jeremy Stevens, who played in the NFL, you know, walked away with, you know, a health stipend, you know, that you can use if you need surgery or if you need to purchase, you know, health insurance for your family. So it is really important because, you know, I really am a firm believer is it's not what you make, it's what you save. Hopefully players are saving while they're playing, because when you get into this next phase, all you've done your whole life is play soccer.
Right.
I feel very fortunate and grateful for the opportunities that are still coming my way. And I'm working really hard and staying involved and doing all that. But what happens for the player that maybe played 15 years, maybe wasn't a high profile player, retires, and then it's like, then what?
Right.
So I do think, yes, it's up to the active players now. I'll continue to speak upon it because I've just lived the equal pay fight as a player and then transitioned into this retirement phase. But it, you know, we as soccer players at the moment do not have the luxury of just going into retirement and not doing anything.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Hey everyone, Brian Berger here. Roan is the new official menswear partner of Sports Business Radio. I love their product. I've been a fan for a long time. Did you know David Stern was one of their first investors? Roan makes the absolute highest quality, best fitting, and most comfortable performance driven clothing for men. Their entire line places emphasis on an active, balanced, and purpose-driven lifestyle. I'm wearing my Spar joggers. I've got them in heather gray. I've got them in navy. I've got my moleskin commuter slim pant. I've got my regular black commuter pant. I've got my dress shirts, So when I'm out in in-person meetings, I have the nicer Rhone product to wear. But most of the time I'm working from home and I've got my Rhone long sleeve gray heather camo. I've got my Rhone long sleeve hoodies. I am wearing the shorts for workouts, the 7-inch Mako shorts. So I'll tell you what, from top to bottom, whether it's casual or business wear, Rhone has me covered. I know they're going to have you covered too. And Rhone is offering Sports Business Radio podcast listeners 15% off your purchase. Go to Rhone.com, R-H-O-N-E.com, and enter code SBR15 at checkout, like Sports Business Radio 15, SBR15 at checkout. Receive 15% off your purchase. That's Rhone.com, R-H-O-N-E.com, and enter promo code SBR15 at checkout.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
When I had Abby on, she's now a minority owner with Angel City FC. So you kind of have to put yourself into the mindset of ownership now and how you want to treat the players. And you just talked about how you wanted to be treated. Do you think as someone who's on the ownership side now, maybe you can lay a pathway there, even if it's just on the NWSL side of here's how we can treat players better so they get these benefits when they're playing, but then also when they're done playing, if they play a certain amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, I don't know the intricates of how all the other leagues work or how the NFL works. I do know that I think that there's, you know, there's dues that are played from that are paid from players that go into this pool. And then that's where you kind of get the funding. So I don't know the logistical and the, you know, the complex, you know, just numbers of how that all comes about. But I do think it's important that, you know, if you're giving yourself, you know, almost two decades worth to the sport, and you come out of it. I mean, I played with several players like Shannon Box who may need knee replacements soon. You know, I mean, you put your body on the line for so long, and you know, or I guess her, you know, or her husband's insurance, you know, is going to have to cover that. You know, there's nothing in place that kind of helps players. So yeah, I do think that from an ownership standpoint, I can definitely voice that. I can continue to talk about it because I don't think people are aware of it. You know, I think it's like equal pay while we're playing, but then what happens next? So that's, you know, the next phase, and maybe it's another complex fight that you know, all players need to kind of come together and figure out. I think it would be, you know, really beneficial to see how it's worked with Major League Baseball, the NFL, how that all came together. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
You've got some great corporate partners, as we discussed earlier. Obviously, you're working with Techball, Symbody, Nike, CBD Medic. Again, how do they find you? How do you find them? Are these products you're like, hey, I really like this. I want to talk to the ownership about working with them. I've had lots of athletes on this show, and there's kind of a combination of how athletes and companies end up working together. But how would you say it's been with you and your partners?
Yeah, I think some have happened organically. Some, the opportunity just kind of presented itself. Like I said, I think all of my sponsorships and partnerships that I have, you know, align with what I'm about. And that I think is the best form of partnership, you know, where it is authentic, where I do like the products, I use the products. But I've been, you know, super grateful for all of my partnerships that I have. Nike, I've obviously been with a really long time since I think 2006-ish or so. So yeah, it's just been great. And I think it's really all about relationships. You know, it's all about getting to know the people. You know, it's not just showing up and doing a couple interviews and, you know, a production day. It's really, you know, just trying to help grow, help evolve, getting to know the people that work within the organizations, and, you know, putting my best foot forward. I approach every partnership and obligation that I have the same way that I approach my career. And that's to work hard, to be respectful, and just continue to help help the organization.
How were you during your career about recognizing, okay, at some point, soccer is going to end. So while I'm in the spotlight, I should take advantage of the access I have to some of these companies and CEOs and people like that to build the relationships? Or was it more along the lines of, well, I've got 1 or 2 years left, I better start, you know, strengthening these relationships for my post-soccer career?
No, I mean, for me, you know, speaking is a big thing of what I do. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy, you know, going and speaking at different corporations, organizations, colleges, universities. So I started doing that at, you know, earlier on in my career, just to get more comfortable, to get those reps in to do that. So that is obviously something that you can carry into your life after soccer or life after sport. I run my own CL10 clinics. I've been doing those since 2007. So they're, you know, now a well-oiled machine, that I'm continuously doing there. And then really, I mean, 2015 after the World Cup, it changed my life. You know, I feel like I was always kind of the black sheep of the group. I didn't go to the agency that half the team was represented by. I chose to go with WME, who didn't have any other soccer player, because I felt like I would be given more attention than kind of being in that pecking order. And from there, it was just kind of, you know, doing things here and there. But then, you know, 2015, my career blew up both on and off the field. And, you know, that was a great launch that I've kind of sustained into my post-playing career. Again, just taking every opportunity I can, you know, doing it to the best of my ability, just being very respectful, forging relationships. I'm just a big believer in, if you put your head down and work really hard, treat everyone with respect, you never know what's going to happen. And so all of this hasn't been by accident. You know, it's you work hard, people enjoy working with you. It's, you know, you become top of mind and they want to have you back. So yeah, it's been really good. And, you know, just kind of stepping out of my comfort zone, even with the broadcasting bit, doing a little studio analyst stuff. But yeah, I'm just always looking for ways to grow and to become better and put myself in kind of those uncomfortable situations.
Please take this as a compliment, but you seem like the type of person who, if you felt like the black sheep, as you just mentioned, you put that chip right here on your shoulder and you use that as motivation. And like you said, you blew up in 2015. You had that incredible World Cup performance. Why did you feel like the black sheep?
I just kind of did everything different, you know, in my career. I went about my career differently. I wasn't afraid to voice my goals. You know, my individual goal when I first started out with the national team was to become the best player in the world. I haven't really heard any other soccer player say that and then be able to achieve it. And I wasn't shy about it. And I think that people just weren't used to a confident woman from Jersey with a little chip on her shoulder, you know, kind of coming in and saying that right off the bat. That was my individual goal, but my team goal was to always just help my team win championships, as many championships as I could help my team win. And very fortunate enough that I was amongst some pretty amazing championship teams, winning World Cups and Olympic golds. But I would say that, you know, I've just kind of carried that throughout my career and, you know, put my head down. I've worked really hard. Things didn't just come to me very easily. You know, I had to work for everything that I got. And so I feel like having a very tough, difficult journey starting out in 2005 and going till 2015, till I was really worldly recognized, and it took scoring a hat trick in a World Cup final for it to happen. I was appreciative of all that came my way because I knew that I put in the work and I did it the right way on and off the field. You know, it wasn't because I sucked up to somebody or I had a connection here. It was purely based off of what I did on the field. And so I've just been very grateful for all that I've had. I've started from the bottom and worked my way to the top. And I think when you have it that way, you do appreciate things. You don't become complacent and you want to just keep striving to be better. But when you have things thrown at you right from the start and it's easy, it's hard to motivate people to want to keep going. And it's hard to really appreciate what's coming your way.
Take me into the mindset of a penalty kick. I've had, you know, Lindsey Horan on this show. I've had Abby on this show. It's such a pressure-packed situation. I mean, it's literally you and the goalie. And usually when you're taking these PKs, the stakes are super high. It's the Olympics. It's the World Cup. I mean, there's a lot on the line. What's your strategy when you're lining up over that ball?
So for a good portion of the national team, Abby was always, when I was playing with Abby, Abby was always the PK taker.
Okay.
So I often didn't find myself taking as many PKs and I would practice here and there. But in 2011 World Cup, we had two shootouts, one against Brazil, which we all made it.
Yep.
And then the final against Japan. And that was a very teaching moment for me because I actually hit a horrible PK, went and probably hit some seagulls up in the air. but that was because I was in my own head of whether to switch sides or not. Did the keeper study our Brazil shootout? What should I do? So that's when I really started to take the initiative to practice PKs. And it turns out that in 2015, Abby was on the bench for most of it. And there were a couple PKs, key PKs that I had to step up and take. And I made them. And that is because I spent from 2011 to 2015 getting a routine, practicing, sticking with the routine, and getting a lot more practice with taking them in games. But it comes down to having a routine. You have to have a routine, the same routine over and over again. And you have to be confident. You can't be worrying about the goalkeeper. That's the most important thing. If you're starting to second guess yourself and worried about the goalkeeper, you're most likely not going to make it. And the ones that I've missed, I've maybe let that come into my mind a bit instead of just getting up there, being consistent and, you know, confident in your kick.
It's great advice. All right. Last question. Our audience wants to know what's next, what's in the future. We've talked about Tech Ball. We've talked about Gotham FC. You've got your CL10 soccer clinics. You're playing golf. You're doing all these things. What's in the future for you?
Future. I mean, it's going to be a busy couple of years. I mean, Men's World Cup coming up, Women's World Cup, you got the Olympics, then you've got 2026 Men's World Cup coming here to the US. You know, I'm going to probably most likely find myself continuing to be immersed in soccer in some capacity. You know, some broadcasting studio analyst opportunities, from a personal standpoint, you know, hopefully starting a family in the near future with my husband. Aside from that, just really living life and enjoying it and continuing to improve my golf game.
That's awesome. Carly Lloyd, you can follow her on social media platforms everywhere at Carly Lloyd. Carly, I've wanted to have you on for a long time. I'm such an admirer of your career on and off the field. I think you're an amazing person and I appreciate you joining me on Sports Business Radio.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back. This episode of Sports Business Radio is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, the fastest growing fantasy app ever released and the official gaming partner of Sports Business Radio. And with early investors like Mark Cuban, Kevin Durant, Adam Schefter, and Jared Goff, I know that Underdog Fantasy is made for people like me who are on the go and want something quick, easy, and fun to play. And today we've got a special offer for Sports Business Radio listeners.
If you sign up to Underdog Fantasy using the promo code SBR, they're going to double your first deposit up to $100. No risk, no long-term commitment. Just sign up using promo code SBR and your first deposit is matched up to $100 for free. I already play Underdog Fantasy on the Underdog Fantasy app, but if I didn't, I'd use that free $100 and go for a pick'em contest where I can bet the over-under on individual players or team matchups. Or maybe the Best Ball Mania 3 contest worth $10 million in total prizes. All you have to do is draft a team for the season. No waivers, no lineups, no injury reports. Underdog Fantasy takes care of all of that for you. So do what I've been doing. Go to Underdog Fantasy, download the app, sign up with promo code SBR, and get started right away with a free match on your first deposit up to $100. Well, that's it for this edition of Sports Business Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to our team at Sports Business Radio, Brian Griggs, Josh Blank, Ryan Nakajima, and our friends at CG Sports who power Sports Business Radio, CG Young, Matt Amerlin, Nicole Wardle, and Calvin Wirtz. I'm Brian Berger. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon right here on Sports Business Radio.
This and every SBR podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and your favorite listening app. Follow Sports Business Radio on Facebook, Twitter at SB Radio, Instagram at Sports Business Radio, and online at sportsbusinessradio.com. Sports Business Radio is produced by Brian Griggs and Griggs Productions, griggsproductions.com.